success.
Okay, thank you.
So you're going to have to tell us who these people are. So we can go. Okay. Good evening. I'm going to call the Tax Conference Committee to order for the first time this year on House File 677. And we are thrilled that the Senate is letting us join you in your spot tonight, Mr. Chair.
It's awfully nice to see the room set up for Conference Committee again, Madam Chair. Sitting across the table from you again. In previous years. Looking forward to having some fun again this year.
Yes, me too. It's wonderful to be here, and I know we've got a busy 3 weeks ahead of us, Mr. Chair, and if we can, I was hoping we could just start with introductions, including all your staff and all the people who are assisting us in the room and who are giving you the signal about the microphones, Mr. Chair. So I'm not sure what that meant. Maybe you can tell us.
Well, Madam Chair, the microphones need to be relatively close. So this room, the acoustics aren't the best. And so we try to keep the microphones pretty close. And if I could ask the staff to not turn on those microphones, because the little wires underneath there tend to break off. So, speak up and speak into the microphone, if you would, please.
Okay. Thank you. So where should we start? We're going to start with Senator Dietzick down there, so we all know who all the conferees are.
My name is Carrie Dietzick. I represent Northeast, Southeast Minneapolis, and a portion of what Daphne used to have in Seward neighborhood.
Ann Rest, State Senator from New Hope.
And Rod Skoy, Senator from North Central Minnesota, Senate District 2.
And Lyle Kuhn, Senator from West Central Minnesota, District 17.
Dave Senjum, representing Dodge and Olmsted County, and I live in Rochester.
And I'm Tom Anzels. I've got the Iron Range and about a half of Cass County.
I represent John Benson. I represent 44B, which is northern half of Minnetonka and the southern third or so of the city of Plymouth.
Ann Lincheski, and I represent Bloomington. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jim Daphne, I represent a number of neighborhoods in South Minneapolis along the Mississippi River.
Kim Norton, and I represent the north half of Rochester.
Great, thank you. Will, is Shelby, would she like to start?
Sure,
is it
sure.
Ms. McQuay?
Yes. I'm Shelby McQuay. I'm fiscal staff for the Senate.
Nora Pollack, counsel for the Senate.
Jack Paulson, analyst for Senate.
Eric Sylvia, counsel for the Senate.
Capital Work, committee administrator for the committee. Steve Peterson, DFL Tax Committee analyst.
Brenda Schaefer, committee administrator for the Tax Reform
Division. Chris McCall, committee legislative assistant for the Tax Reform Division.
I need to interrupt because my L.A. Donovan Hurd is not here. He's getting copies, but he's just a smaller, younger version of me. So.
Okay. And is there Senate GOP staff here as well? Okay, well, maybe he'll get here. I see the commissioners heading in late, too. So we'll get to Senate GOP when they get here. And Mr. Hines?
Steve Hines, House Research Analyst.
Hi, Emily Jensen. I'm the Committee Registrar for the Taxes Committee in the Conference.
I'm a researcher for the office.
Gina Gwinnish, House Committee Legislative Assistant.
Nina Manley, House Research.
Joel Weifel, House Research.
Pat Dalton, House Research.
Andrew Biggerstaff, House Research.
Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff.
And Kathy Schill, House Fiscal Staff.
Great. Stephen, we see you there.
Stephen Rubin, GOP Research.
Okay. And Commissioner, you're late. Commissioner,
good evening.
Please introduce yourself. And Ms. Von Mosch, join us, and whoever else you've got with you.
Good, thank you. Myron Franz, Revenue Commissioner. It's a pleasure to join you tonight. Thank you.
Yes, we're glad you're here. Ms. Von Mosch, you're late, too. You've already lost. You've already lost a number of provisions.
I apologize, Madam Chair. Susan Von Mosch from the Department of Revenue.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And anyone else that we would like, and if the GOP staff from the Senate shows up, we'll ask him to introduce himself.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Chair. You and I talked previously, and I thought for folks who are listening, we asked the nonpartisan staff in the Senate and the House to work together to come up with provisions that are the same in the bill or close. And in the past, I know we've spent a lot of time in these rooms doing these long walkthroughs of the side-by-sides, and certainly when you're chairing tomorrow, you may wish to do that, but I don't find them particularly helpful in the sense that, we all can read, and we're all adults, and we've all got the side-by-side, and I know we'll refer to them as we debate all the provisions, but I think there's a lot of hard work that just comes from, truthfully, the Department of Revenue staff that works on it day in and out, the House nonpartisan staff, the Senate nonpartisan staff, and I was hoping that we could work through some of those, and our staff together has prepared that, and all the conferees have taken a look. Thoughts on if we can go ahead and try to move some of these provisions?
Madam Chair, with regard to going through the side-by-side, I think that the division and the tax committee this year, what we tried to do is we dealt with areas. We tried to introduce a little history of the area as we talked about that subject area. So perhaps as we go through the conference committee, if we're going to do something on corporate taxes or something, then we'd look at just that narrowed part of the side-by-side, and if there were questions, we could bring them up at that point. But to sit here and go through the whole thing to this evening, I don't think would be terribly productive. So if we could look at the side-by-side as we go into different areas, I think it would be helpful. And we did look at the list today that the nonpartisan staff put together, and we think there are some areas where, you know, we can move forward on this. But there are also some that I'm a little bit concerned about, and one of the examples would be the Maplewood TIF. And while we're very similar there, it's also part of our funding mechanism includes a sales tax exemption on construction materials. So we see some of the connections in some of these areas. So I think for the Senate, if we could focus on Article 14 through 18, I think we'd be pretty comfortable with those this evening. But
I think, Senator Skoy, I think what we want to do is some of our members want to move some of these, and if you're not ready to vote on them, then we won't, and we'll just talk about them. Because I think that way we can get them out there for that, all the ones that the staff think are the same, and I think your example of Maplewood with the 3M is a good example that I had not thought of, that you have a state funding source in your bill as well, and we don't. So I understand you'd want to think about that together. I will tell you what you just said. I did try to watch as many tax committee hearings as I could this year in the Senate, and people who know me know I'm kind of a junkie for this stuff. I watch all my Bloomington City Council meetings still. I used to be on that city council, and I watch those at home, and I watch Bloomington School Board meetings, and I watch a lot of Senate hearings. And so I'll tell you, I really appreciated Senator Ress's context and history and some fabric on some of the issues in tax policy, and I appreciated a lot of your hearings too, and I think that would be excellent to hear about those things in that kind of context for House members who didn't hear kind of how you walked through, you know, the different parts of how you were looking at tax policy this year. So I think that would be great. So with that, I think Representative Dabney has a motion first, and we can just see how you all think about it. So,
thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move of the Senate bill, Article 2, Sections 1 through 5. House members may recognize this as Representative Hansen's work, if I recall correctly. It's housekeeping provisions for Bowser, the Board of Water and Soil Resources.
Do you have the page?
Page 15 in the side-by-side for those following along at home.
Okay, so, yes, page 15 in the side-by-side.
And, Madam Chair, are you planning on voting on these articles this evening?
Not if you don't want to, but we do, you know, I think we just feel like with 19 days to go, I think that's right. We just want to clear the decks of the stuff that's really not controversial, and if we hear it's controversial, then we don't need to vote on it. But, you know, I think Representative Dabney would be more than happy to withdraw the motion as we hear if there's a problem. But, you know, that's just kind of how we're thinking about it. Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, I think that in the discussions that our conferees have had that we're comfortable about moving to votes perhaps on Articles 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, which are fairly technical in nature. But I'm certainly happy to, you know, hear comments about the other provisions, but I'm not prepared to vote on any of them tonight.
And, Madam Chair.
Senator Skoy.
And I know that the staff has done a great job of keeping us informed and giving us progress reports with regard to the side-by-side and other things, but, you know, we just received the side-by-side later this afternoon, and I know we did have copies and we've been looking at them, but you did pass your bill off the floor of the House earlier than we did, and we just haven't had quite as much time to to look at that stuff. The other thing I was wondering if perhaps sometime this evening we could finalize the spreadsheet. I think that should be on our list to talk about this evening, too.
Yeah. Others? I'm sorry, if I call you Representative, Senator
Dabney, just could you cite that reference that you want to address?
Sir,
I think I'm on page 6 or 15. I'm sorry.
15.
Madam Chair, it's Representative Senjum. It is on page 15. It's in the Senate section. It's Article 2, Sections 1 through 5, and this is housekeeping. So it's a step above technical, but not by much.
Senator Swain.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Dabney, we did have a question about this. If there was some need that we would have to put a maximum amount, a dollar amount, there was some question about that, and I hadn't had a chance to review that myself, and I don't know if any of the other conferees had a chance to look into that question, but that was a question that occurred either in committee or might have even been on the floor.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Senator Scoy, I can appreciate that. Since we're a ways away from actually closing articles, we could adopt this language to get the ball rolling, and then if we need to come back and tweak something, I think that would still be in order, since we wouldn't have closed the article.
Senator Scoy?
Well, I think Senator Rest is not comfortable voting on these, and Division Chair, I'm going to support her position.
Okay. Representative Dabney?
Madam Chair, I can appreciate that. I'm hoping. How about if we try to move on?
Madam Chair,
I think it
would be Senator helpful Rest. Just to indeed, mm-hmm. Representative Dabney, just to describe what those provisions deal with, and about Bowser, for example, just to make sure we know that.
Sure. And before Representative Dabney does, I mean, again, members are on page 15, and, you know, if you look at that side by side, I mean, they're identical provisions. So it's a little confusing as to, since, you know, it's been passed through your committee and off the floor, and same through us. Just leave it at that, but Representative Dabney, did you want to describe the provisions that
absolutely.
Are in both bills?
Looking at page 15 of the side-by-side, the first section extends the maximum amount of time that Bowser has to evaluate local water management entities' progress in accomplishing its plan, give folks more time. I think we're seeing in our body greater focus on water here in Minnesota. And I imagine some of this is part of that, particular concerns rising about groundwater. You know, we're the land of 10,000 lakes. We seem to be doing pretty well on lakes. I think Senator Dietzick probably shares my concern about the river, as we share the river, as do any number of senators and representatives as it flows through the state. But our groundwater hasn't gotten the attention it deserves. So I think some of this you're seeing is a part of that. There is a levy component in Section 2, as you can see, and it does broaden the tax levy authority that we looked at and were comfortable with. Also allows counties to levy for reasonable costs for their soil and water conservation districts regarding their plans. Looks at some financial assistance requiring the county to implement a water implementation tax to raise matching funds. These are not, as I recall, Representative Hansen talking, large amounts of money by any stretch of the imagination. Some cost-sharing funds, as you see in Section 4 of Article 4 of the House bill, Article 2, Section 4 of the Senate bill. Moving on, eliminating some cost-share fund allocation requirements. And requires funds for technical assistance to be used to leverage federal or non-state funds. So we can actually look at getting better things done with water using a variety of funds from different resources with this language. And then looking at soil loss, do we go to Article 5? Let's see. Yep. And then looking at soil loss ordinances, Senator Scoy, you understand soil and its importance better than I do. I just know we shouldn't treat it like dirt.
Ooh.
That was a line used, Madam Chair, that was a line used during the
Senator Olson.
Senator Olson naming of the state soil, Lester.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And Madam Chair, so we will start by being just a little bit embarrassed. This is a bill that we did not hear was offered as an amendment on the last day of committee as we put our bill together. So that's part of our reticence.
I got it. Senator Scully or Senator Rust, do you know who the author of the amendment was?
Senator Scalzi.
She didn't convince you enough to want to just adopt it right now? Mm-hmm. But she got it in your bill.
She got it in the bill, so it's up
okay.
for discussion.
Thank you for that. So I guess we're going to try something else.
All right. All right, Madam Chair, if I may then, given the awkwardness here, I'd like to withdraw that motion and instead move adoption of Article 2, Sections 43 and 44 of the Senate bill. This is one where the language is highly similar between the two. I'm sorry, folks will find this on page 17. It's the property tax exemptions for the Target Center in Minneapolis and the St. Paul Ballpark, the Saints Ballpark that was considered in last year's Viking Stadium bill. The Senate language is preferable here in, Article 2, Section 44 of the Senate bill, Article 4, Section 10 of the House bill for members on my side of the table. The Senate requires a local approval for the property tax exemption for the Target Center. I've spoken to the city since the language in the House bill was passed, and that is now their preference. It was not originally in the House bill, and it apparently was in the Senate bill. I'm not sure who carried it. Representative Dziedzic, Senator Champion, thank you. But the city's preference is for the local option. The Target Center is the only of the major sports and entertainment venues in the Twin Cities that pays sales tax. You know, the XL does not, the Minneapolis Convention Center does not, River Center does not, Target Field does not, the Metrodome does not, Target Center does. And so the city is exploring with the management of the Target Center and the team, the primary tenant, about options as they look to remodel the building, as was again contemplated in the Vikings bill last year. And so this is one of the tools they're looking for. But the local approval that the Senate was wise enough to include is their preference.
Senator Scott?
And Madam Chair, my recollection here, I haven't looked at the fiscal impact of this, but is there a fiscal impact of the statewide business property tax on this internally within the statewide business property tax?
Who would like to? Mr. Hines. Mr. Hines.
Madam Chair, Senator Scully, there is a shift within the state business tax because this property right now is paying state business
tax. Is there a cost?
There wouldn't be a cost.
There's no cost. So shift, not a cost. Mm-hmm. So zero on the spreadsheet for this provision.
Zero on the spreadsheet.
Homestead Fire Fund.
But this one should be live.
There's a PTR cost of $120,000.
Yes.
Mr. Hines.
Madam Chair, is it showing a cost?
Showing $120,000 cost due to potentially increased PTR.
It's a PTR impact.
And the other taxes that it would pay by becoming exempt is a shift onto everything else. And that's showing up as a PTR cost.
Yep. So there is a cost. So you want to wait on $120,000. Senator Dziedzic, it's your community too. What are your thoughts on this provision? Okay.
Madam Chair?
Representative Dabney.
You know, I wouldn't at all question the department's notes, but it is a little trickier because for instance, the Lifetime Fitness Athletic Club there would continue to pay sales tax. And I think, is there a restaurant there? I forget. There is. Okay, thank you, Senator Zizek. That would continue to pay sales tax. So it might be a little bit more difficult to computation than simply, what does this thing pay? Okay, take that off of the CI, statewide CI, and the local property tax, and what does that mean? Because it's not going to be a 100% deduction from either the statewide CI or the local property tax, because at least those two entities, the sports club and the restaurant, will continue to pay property taxes.
Further, anyone? Mr. Hines.
Say one more thing to point out is right now that property is in a TIF district. So although it pays property taxes, right now there is no benefit to the city taxpayers from the disc because it's all going to TIF. So once it's about to come off of TIF, and in that case there would be a shift relative to it, you know, for being exempt relative to what it would be if it's not exempt. But it doesn't really a shift in terms of what people have been paying so far. So it's even a little more complicated than that.
Okay. Senator Spy.
Madam Chair, I think Senator Reston for me comes off of 2016.
Okay. So you want to wait on this one? Okay. Okay, so we'll wait on that one. Representative Anzels, so do you want to?
Thank you. Question for you, Madam Chair. Are we sure and clear and precise that we're not going to be taking any votes? Or?
Well, I think.
Would you like a motion? Or?
I guess not, if what the Senate is saying is that they don't want to vote on these provisions. I will say, I hear the $120,000 item, but I think when things don't cost anything and they're identical in the bill, quicker we can come to agreement on them, I think the better. But Representative Anzels, I hear you probably just want to explain it because it seems that.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
And we know the courtesy will be returned another day.
Absolutely, Madam Chair, and we're taking notes on the issues, and I think this understanding of these issues, it'll speed up the process in the long run.
Well, thank you for that, and I'm sure Senate conferees will like Article 2, Sections 36, 37, and 38 in your bill. We are willing to accept your language with one exception. Article 36 deals with the Cook or hospital levy, and you know how important that is. It would allow the levy to be used to purchase capital equipment and parts and replacement parts, it would require that the proceeds be divided equally between the ambulance service in Cook and the one in Orr. And then Article 37 deals with Carlton County's levy authority. There is one problem we feel with the language in the Senate, on the Senate side, and that is you refer to unorganized townships, and we think that should be unorganized territories because townships that are not organized are not townships. So we would take your language there on Article 37 with that one exception. And then Article 38 is identical. It deals with the Northwest Minnesota Multi-County Housing Authority.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ross, please.
Where did the... I don't know, I guess this is for Senate counsel. Was the bill as originally introduced have the language unorganized town, and then the House changed, made an amendment to, following Representative Anzels' comments, to change it to unorganized territory? Which came first?
Mr. Silva, is that... You look like you're getting ready to answer.
Madam Chair, it's my understanding that the Senate bill included the term unorganized town, but it's my understanding that the preferred terminology now apparently is unorganized territory, for that reason that the term unorganized town isn't generally used if they're unincorporated.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Anyone else have thoughts on these? Cook or the Sawyer and the third item. Let's see. Northwest Minnesota. I'm reading the wrong piece. Article 2, sections 36, 37, and 38. Senator Scoia, want to wait on those as well?
Madam Chair, as we indicated earlier, we'll be willing to start voting when we get to Article 14.
Okay. Can you give us some insight in, this is your language, what you don't like about it?
All right.
Well, we think that there are other parts of the article that are we need to consider at the same time, and we just haven't gotten our head around all of those interactions. Yes, we want to make sure that the interactions work well for us also.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Ansels?
Once again, I would just reiterate that the language there, the side-by-side comparison there is identical except for the township and territory. Next on my little list here is Article 10, Section 9 in the Senate bill. This deals with fiscal disparities on the Iron Range. Senator Saxog had the bill in the Senate. I had it in the House. Senator Saxog did a much better job than I did, so we would agree to accept the Senate language with regard to a study of the communities and the counties that are involved in our fiscal disparities pool. It's been in place since 1998. And a number of stakeholders on the range have indicated an interest in taking a look at it.
Representative, I think we have the wrong numbers on our little cheat sheet here.
Okay. Article 10, Section 9 in the Senate bill.
Yeah, I don't see it. Section 9.
It's on page 21 of the side-by-side.
I'm just looking.
Oh, page 21. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's your,
I apologize.
It's your Article 4.
Page 21. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. So, Senator Scoy, Representative Ansels, did you hear that? He said Senator Saxog did a better job. You don't want to take Senator Saxog's better job? Is it the same thing?
We're appreciative of Senator Saxog's work.
Okay. Here. Okay.
Amazing. I think I've got one.
Others? Okay. Well, thank you for trying there, Representative Ansels, to move the Senate language. And Representative Benson, I know you have
yes.
some things you're interested
well,
in.
Madam Chair, I don't know how much I'll try, but I think we're looking at Article 5, Sections 22 through 25. And again, we have no comparable provisions for most of this. You'll find the description on 40 and 40 through 42, and we, accept the language of exclusion for the items listed on the comparable sheet here. There's no money involved, I believe. And so with that, since we're not interested in moving on some of these apparently right now, I would just direct everyone to look at the language.
And what page of the side-by-side is
that? 40 through 42.
Okay. Senator Rest.
That was my question.
Okay. Senator Goy, did you same thing?
Well, that would be helpful, but my recollection of the historic building credit is the Senate does include additional funding in that, I believe.
Yeah, there is.
Some money on the spreadsheet, and yeah. Perhaps we could resolve the two together when we resolve the money at the historic credit.
I think Senator Representative Benson was.
That's on page 41, I believe.
Yeah, and he was excluding the money items.
Yeah,
and was just
money
looking
items
at the
are
Senate
excluded,
language.
I believe. Are they, Madam Chair, to
right. me? That motion. It wouldn't. Where what Representative Benson was looking at is minus the SHPO fee amount, the limit on annual allocation, the sunset extension effective date. It's just the Senate language preferred, and I know we're sensing that you don't want to vote on these. But are you okay with your Senate language on this provision?
Oh, I think the language is fine, and we will get to it in good time.
When is good time? I mean, I'm half teasing, but, you know, I was really hoping that things where they're identical, we could just adopt them. But is there,
Sense? I think, you know, we're not trying to be obstructionist here. We have indicated that we're willing to act on 100 pages of this bill in the last thing and to consider these other things, but not to act on them. We did not get this list until later this afternoon. We didn't get this. There are always mistakes, and we want to make sure that we look at all of this language as carefully as we can, and we feel like we've been able to do that with Articles 14 through 18, and as far as I know, maybe have some questions about the what you have there, but with regard to the rest of the articles, but we're certainly willing to act on those. Not trying to be uncooperative.
I hear you, trying to lay out
what we're willing to look at this evening.
Representative Norton.
Madam Chair, this is my first time on Tax Committee, so I'm just going to ask a procedural issue here. And was this just the House staff that did the side-by-side, or is this House and Senate that worked together?
It's both.
It's both.
And so our staff has looked at it and found them identical.
Yeah, I think that's right. Senator Skye.
Madam Chair and Representative Norton, I believe that's right. And fortunately, the senators haven't had as much time as we feel that we should have to look through this. And we respectfully request that some of these we deal with at a later date. As Senator Ress indicated, you know, there's 100 pages of sames here that the Department of Technical and Policy Bills were willing to move on tonight. But these other ones, we just want a little more time to look at them. As I mentioned earlier, there are some interactions with money that we want to understand, and so we just want to have a little time to make sure of that before we move on.
And to make sure that, you know, we're looking at these provisions in context and not say, well, okay, well, we acted on that and we're done with that article. We're not going to take it back up again. And so we're just, you know, just trying to be very cautious, but certainly willing to move on the technical things that come to later in those articles.
I appreciate that.
Complicated.
I just, so people don't, you know, have any doubt about what I'm up to here. I mean, I would tell, you know, Senator Skye, I talked to Senator Skye today, and I received this list at the exact same moment Senator Skye received this list, and Commissioner Franz and Ms. Von Mosch and Senate staff and House staff, and in fact, I was asked by House staff, did you want to take a look at this before we sent it to Senator Skye? And I said no. So all I'm trying to say is, you know, there's a lot of work that a lot of senators and a lot of House members have carried as provisions that got the blessing of Senator Skye's committee and House Tax Committee, and it made it off the floor. And I think those authors would all be surprised to think their bills are being I think they're probably thinking they're done. So, I mean, you know, we really didn't carry anything that we didn't put anything in that we didn't want. So I don't know if, you know, the Senate has some provisions that they put them in there with no intention of ever passing them, and we really aren't doing that. I mean, I did not see this list ahead of time, just so people know. There was no trick here. It was just simply, you know, to save time and not have to spend a lot of hours debating things that have passed both bodies. That was it.
And Madam Chair, I appreciate that, and I know that we did discuss earlier the possibility of moving on some sames and similars. We got the list. We started going through it. A couple of questions came up right away. We just had other things that we required our attention this afternoon, and so we said we're pretty comfortable dealing with the Department of Technical and Policy Bills. We can get 100 pages of work done. That'll give the staff opportunity to start finishing that. And then, you know, we'd be happy to move on these items, you know, next time you have the gavel or have just a little more time to review this.
Okay. What does everybody else think is a good use of time then? Anybody have any thoughts?
Particularly.
I mean, because we could certainly go do those few, but I mean, do you have a suggestion?
Well, maybe we should move to the ones that we're agreeing on, and maybe we'll start making targets.
Well, and I mean, we can certainly do that. Commissioner, are you following along on this? Do you have this list?
Yes, Madam Chair, I do.
So do you, before we get to the part of the list that the Senate wants, is there anything above that line, which I think is said was by Senator Chair Skoy was, I can't remember which, is it Article 12? Article 11? Oh, 14.
It's 14 through
just the last three provisions.
14 through 18.
Is there any, do you have concerns about things on this list?
No, as I look at the list, Madam Chair, we obviously, the department bills are toward the end, and we obviously are hopeful that those will get passed on, but we've passed on all of our concerns thus far, but we are still looking at the language as well.
Okay. Thoughts from anyone else? What you want to do here?
No.
Representative Coonan, Senator Coonan, it's really disappointing to see you over there. Just tell you that.
Madam Chair.
He's in a better place.
Madam Chair, I agree with my chair now. I think we should start probably with Section 14. If there's some other stuff we want to talk about, that's probably all right, but we can move on starting with Section 14.
Madam Chair, well, I am also disappointed with what Representative Coonan has done, partly because one of my key campaign workers is his cousin, and I just never thought this would happen, Madam Chair.
Senator Rest, another person who left the House and joined the other team.
Madam Chair, I would move Article 14. Well, I guess we can just move the House articles. Article 14 with the preferences expressed by the staff. Which would include the preference expressed by the staff for Section 21, and then with regard to Section 106 in Article 14 to drop the House provision since it's elsewhere repealed and it's not in the Senate bill.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
And this whole article deals with the changes we need to make, technical changes with regard to the market value exclusion that were not done in the vetoed bill last year or caught in when we changed this over the year before.
Representative Dabney.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, Senator, you're including the now frequent reference of changing townships, unorganized townships.
In this article.
Unorganized
this article.
Territory mm-hmm. in this article, yes.
And then we'd be done with it.
Madam Chair, the repeal of the market value exclusion or the market value homestead credit has a long life, and this is part of that, is fixing numerous places in statute where the repeal of the market value homestead credit was referenced, and while that raised property taxes across the state, it also created a certain amount of mess in our statute. So this is a lengthy and detailed effort to clear those things up.
Madam Chair.
Senator Skoy. I mean, Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, and I think with regard to that one section, the 106, mm-hmm. we did not have a provision for that. Since the statutory section is, as noted there, is repealed in our Article 1, Section 27. So that's why we don't have that there, just as an explanation.
Okay, so Senator Skoy, That motion's on the table, Senator Rass, but we want to just recess for 5 minutes, okay? So with that, we're in recess for 5 minutes.